Romans chapter 8, verse number 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means make alive, your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. This is the understatement of the year. There is a lot in that one verse. So we're just going to dissect it. I'm going to cut it into three parts. The last message I preached in this series was from chapter 6. We're not through with chapter 6, where he said, shall we sin so that the grace of God may more abound in us? And the theory was, if where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. What was going on was carnal people, also lost people, were saying, well, if I sin and that gives God an opportunity to show His grace, I'm going to sin a little extra so He can show me a lot of grace. That you know nothing about the grace of God if that's what it makes you want to do. So I titled that A Dangerous Truth. Now, it's not dangerous to us that are born again, but it is a truth that ungodly and wicked men will, I'm quoting from Timothy here, will rest, W-R-E-S-T, short form of wrestle or twist, unto their own destruction. And here's an acid, A-C-I-D, here's an acid test for you. People say, Brother Ain, sometimes I doubt my salvation and I wonder, what does the grace of God mean to you? If the grace of God makes you want to just live for Jesus and serve Him with your whole heart, that is a real good evidence of salvation. If the grace of God makes you want to go out and live as carnally and as wickedly as possible, I'm not telling you you're lost. I am here to tell you something's wrong. Okay, because the grace of God makes me want to be the best Christian I can be. When somebody tells me what it costs, let's bring it to Memorial Day. When somebody tells me what it costs me to be an American, that makes me want to stand up a little prouder. Put my hand over my heart and pledge allegiance to the flag. It doesn't make me want to get careless and throw these liberties away. Okay, do you understand all the little rabbits that I'm avoiding and not running down rabbit trails right now? Okay, that crowd in Washington, they don't value our heritage. It means nothing to them, but it means something to me. Okay, and so does the grace of God. Okay, so that last message was a dangerous truth. Romans chapter 8, verse number 11 is a delivering truth. So I'm going to break it up. Let me tell you the parts and then I'll preach them. But if the Spirit of Him, that would be God, that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. So that's the first half, first third of the verse. I'm calling that a conditional statement. The reason being it starts with the word, the if. Y'all have heard it all your life. If then. If you do this, I'll do this. Okay, so there's a condition here. So if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. So a conditional statement. Look in the middle of the verse. He that raised up Christ from the dead, that is a provisional statement. Something that has been provided to me as a child of God. And then look at the last line of the verse, and that would be the one that says, He shall quicken also your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And I'm calling that one a positional statement. That is my position in Christ. Okay, so let's look at the verse. Number one is the conditional statement. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. If I proposed the question, does Christ dwell in you? Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? It is very possible that everyone who even understands the question would answer in the affirmative and say, yes, He does. And that's a good thing. I want to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. When you say Christ lives in me, God lives in me, the Holy Spirit lives in me, that is a mouthful. And I want us to look at our lives in light of the fact that we just said God's living inside of us. You understand what I'm saying? It's not just, oh, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That God didn't give you that verse for your girls' volleyball team. That poor verse just gets misapplied in the most horrible ways. You know, I don't feel like mowing the yard today. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Look at it in its context. God empowered you by the Holy Ghost so you could live for Jesus. Okay, and I'm not against volleyball and I'm not against mowing the yards. Okay, say amen right there. But I'm just telling you, it's far greater than that. But I want you to understand, Paul is writing to believers and he says, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, I want you to answer the question, does the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you? Well, let's look at three things that accompany that statement. Look at verse 9, the last half of the verse. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, what's the last four words? He's none of his. I'm not being ugly. Let me just make the statement. But understand, I'm not being unkind to those who believe this. There are entire denominations who were built on the philosophy that you have to ask for the Spirit. You have to seek the Spirit. That you can be saved, but you need to take that next step of faith and ask the Spirit to come on you. If any man, and if you read that verse to them, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, that they absolutely are dumbfounded. And they'll either argue with you or deny that it's saying what it really says. It's not hard to, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Perish the thought that you can get saved and then you need a second work of grace where you ask the Spirit to come in you and on you. So number one, under this provisional statement is this. The necessity of the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit of God living inside of you, you are not born again. That goes for the youngest child here who has trusted Christ. That goes to our octogenarians who have been saved 50 and 60 years and love Jesus with all their heart. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. If you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. We're going to see how deep that is and what it means here in just a minute. Go to verse 10. The necessity of it. You're not saved without Him. Now look at verse number 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, capital S, is life because of righteousness. Number one is the necessity. Number two is the new reality. Let me illustrate it this way. I use Sally, that would be Ashley's mother, her testimony of salvation. If you don't keep up with her on social media, she's still growing. She still loves the Lord. She's like the rest of us. She's on a journey. And she's had her ups and downs, but she still, most of you remember the Sunday she knelt here and she stood up and the ladies were hugging her and crying. And I said, Sally, would you like to say anything to the church? And she said, well, I'm not lost anymore. When she went down, the Spirit of God did not dwell in her. If she repented of her sins and called on Jesus, when she got up, God was living inside of her in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is that verse I just read in verse number 10 said? It said, if Christ dwells in you, the body is dead. Now, I got a question for you. Some of you got up this morning and you thought your body was dead. The old man was dead. Y'all remember that song back in the 90s? The old man is dead. And they'd just tear the walls down. Woo, the old man is dead. And somebody would cut him off on the interstate and they'd say a bad word. I think the old man woke up. So what is verse number 10 saying? Positionally, in Christ, the old man is dead. And I'm alive in Christ on the end. That's my position in Christ. Now go to verse number 13. This is the new reality for you if you're born again. Look at verse number 13. For if ye live, time out. Is he writing to saved people or lost people? Saved. If you live after the flesh, can a saved man live after the flesh? Yes. Your gut wants to say, no, no, he can. I'm going to quit preaching and go to meddling. We have some deep conversations in the truck on these trips. Y'all know what our deep conversation was last night? Now if you disagree with me, let's just disagree. But don't fall out with me. You know what? You know where you need the Spirit-filled life more than anywhere on the planet? Home. Seth, I worked in the public sometimes 2 and 3 jobs at a time, Brother Shakur. I mean, no disrespect, to Brother Philip, to the Spirit of God. My good old-fashioned Southern manners got me through 99% of the situations. Everybody's going, where's he going with this? I'm not saying I don't need God. But if you're trained to show respect and kindness and all of this sort of stuff, you're going to get along pretty good. Where do we have the hardest time doing that? Home. Read Ephesians chapter 5. The Spirit-filled life is tied hand in hand with what? Husbands and wives. Y'all want to be a sermon illustration? Fathers and children, right? Those home relationships. My manners will get me through some jerk at Walmart. But I leave manners at the door sometimes when I walk in the house. You want me to sing Just As I Am so we can all go to the altar? Positionally, I'm dead and I'm alive. My old man is dead and I'm alive in Christ. Positionally. Practically, it is a day in and day out battle. And I don't have to die daily. Y'all look at your preacher and I hope you don't vote me out after this. I have to die hourly. I said I wasn't going to use Interstate 26 as a sermon illustration anymore. I can get up and be full of the Holy Ghost, almost speaking in tongues. That's a joke. And buddy, get in that construction zone and somebody from Florida or Ohio or Pennsylvania pass me at 85 miles an hour in a construction zone and I'm remembering how many traffic deaths have been on that interstate this week and I'm like, it's your fault. And then somebody from North Carolina comes by doing the same thing and I can't blame it on them. Are y'all with me? We're positionally dead and raised to walk in newness of life. I said that when I baptized you. But you got to get up every morning and practically live that out. But here's the good news. You don't do that on your own. I promise you, everybody in this room has left here after an unusually glorious service and felt like they could take on hell with a water pistol. And by the time you get to your car, the enemy's crawled up on your back and whispered in your ear and given you fits. I've had members text me and they say, Preacher, I thought I got the victory here. And before I got home, I was struggling with, and you can fill in the blank. This old man will give you fits. So let's see what the answer is. Okay, number one, there's a necessity. Number two, there's a new reality. Please, please. Run around the church and shout on this next one. Please look at verse number 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We're looking at the conditional statement that if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you. Number one, there's a necessity of that. Number two, there's a new reality of that. Look at verse number 16 again. You got a new neighbor. I love it when you come up to me and say kind things. Pastor, you're the best pastor I've ever had. I've never been fed like I've been fed here. And I'm like, I've heard that before. Right before they left. Not really. Now, I love it when Christian says, Pastor, you helped me today. That's encouraging. But let me tell you something, that will only go so far. But when the Holy Ghost Spirit whispers to my spirit, I love you, you're mine. I can talk to some of you and say, you know, I'm not your judge, but I see evidence of God working in your life. I'm not sure why this battle of doubt, you hadn't done this, so I don't know why you're doubting, but, and I'm not your judge, you need to go. Yeah, everybody in here knows I'm going to send you to the book, but I see evidence of God working in your life, but you're going to have to settle this with God. You hear good things from me that might encourage you, but when the sweet Holy Spirit of God whispers in your heart and bears witness, that means He agrees. You say, I'm saved, and the Holy Spirit says, yes, you are. Okay, I use her with her permission, my wife. Not embarrassing her, using her with her permission. Went through a long period of doubt that tormented her mind. Y'all have heard me say it before. I'm going to give it to you again because somebody needs it this morning. Here's when she got victory. I believe it was absolutely a turning point in her life. She went to her knees and she said, she was like, I'm tired of this battle, Brother Morris. I've saved or lost. I've got to hear from God. I got to get this thing nailed down. She said she went to her knees. The first two words out of her mouth were, Oh, Father. And the Holy Spirit bore witness with her spirit and said, Yes, I am your Father. Talk to me. I love you, church. I'm probably preaching to somebody this morning. You've done all the right things, said all the right things, checked all the boxes on your little checklist. But when you say God, when you say Father, there's no relationship there. Everywhere we go, we hear somebody's testimony who said, I looked the part, I acted the part, I went out of my way to play the part, but there was nothing on the inside. I was dressed up on the outside, but there was no reality on the inside. So I want, before I move on to the middle part of this verse, I want to ask you the question, that conditional statement, I want you to answer in your own heart. Does the Spirit of God live inside of you? One more thing on that verse number 16. The Spirit, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Listen to your preacher. Y'all want to know why some of us don't hear from God often enough? We're not hanging around where He is. You might be saying, oh, preacher, He's in me. I know, but if you're not hanging around environments that are conducive to mortifying that old man and quickening that new man, you're not going to hear from God. Here's the illustration that came to my mind while I was studying and meditating. Spiritually, some believers hang out in a ghetto and wonder why they're not hearing from God. I'm all for witnessing and telling everybody in the world about Jesus, but spiritually, God does not want you in a ghetto environment. He wants you in a godly environment where you're more likely to hear from Him. Where am I more likely to run into a Clemson fan? Clemson, South Carolina, or Chapel Hill, North Carolina? Some of you's not hanging around God and you're wondering why you're not hearing from Him. Some of you's not in His Word and you're wondering why He's not speaking to you. Some of you are listening to... Who's the most popular country artist right now? Good answer. You work with, I know you serve God's chicken, but there ain't, everybody there ain't saved. Don't answer me out loud. You're not going to hear from God listening to songs about adultery and drinking and fornication. You say, Brother Raines, does my music really have anything to do with it? Yes, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Our minds are so cluttered with the mess of this world, and we don't know why we don't hear from God. He can't cut through the junk. Isn't that a shame? The God who parted the Red Sea is not. I get so much clutter in my life. He can't get to my heart. He's wanting to whisper sweet peace to me, and I filled it with all the philosophies of this world. Are y'all with me? My goodness alive. This passage is alive to me. Look in the middle of verse number 11. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, and I'll stop there. Number two is a provisional statement, and I'm only going to stay here a minute because I've already touched on it. Who lives inside of you? The very God who raised up Jesus from the dead. That is who lives inside of you. That's why sin shall not have dominion over you. And whenever I get on that, Brother Michael, I always go to the left and talk about wrong music and pornography and immodesty and all of that. Let me tell you something. You may be eat up with worry. That's a sin. When my wife speaks to ladies, she'll say, if you're doubting God, the first thing you need to do is confess that sin and ask Him to forgive you. They're like, I didn't know it was a sin. That she said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And we pride ourselves, I'm just a worrier. I'm just a worrier. The Bible addresses that issue. And then she makes this statement. What if somebody said, y'all pray for me, I'm just an adulteress. And said it with a little bit of pride. Trusting is hard for me. Purity is hard for me. There's certain sins we brag about. Here's the one for the men. Since I'll get off the ladies and all the ladies said. Here's one for the men. Impatience. We brag about it. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. Temperance. Everybody lift your hands. We'll pray in a minute. Love, joy, peace, long-suming, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But we brag about that sin. What if I stood up, we were confessing, and I'll say, most preachers, we love to brag about the fact about how impatient that we are. What if your preacher stood up and said, man, I can't keep my eyes off the women. I don't think we'd have very many women here next Sunday. And then the next Sunday, I doubt we'd have any at all. Don't be bragging about our sin. I can live in victory. We have accepted a pitiful level of Christianity. He didn't say the Spirit who touched a blind man and gave him his sight back. That would be amazing. He didn't say the Spirit that touched a deaf man and he spit first and did it. Okay, he didn't say that. He said the Spirit that raised up a dead man is the Spirit that lives inside of you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin, preacher, shall not have dominion over you. It is a provisional statement. Look at the end of verse number 11. It is a positional statement. Shall also quicken, what does it mean? Make alive your, what? Mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. It all fits together. This is not a brand new point. They all dovetail into each other. Where do we most often read that verse? Does anybody know? Funerals and gravesides, right? If the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He shall also quicken your mortal body. And we apply it to what? Resurrection. That's not the primary application. It's a good application. And you do no harm to the Scripture when you read it at somebody's graveside service. And remind that precious family that that loved one is going to get up. You do no harm to the Scriptures. Let me tell you something. He is not talking about Resurrection Day. He's talking about today. You say, preacher, I'm not so sure about that. They read that verse at my granny's funeral, and I believe you got it out of context. Look at the context that's all around it. He's talking about what I'm doing today. He's not talking about Resurrection Day. You know why we put it on Resurrection Day, Brother Philip? Because that gives me a pass today. We love to relegate that verse to the, He's going to get us up out of the grave. Because that gives me a pass for today. No, I'm supposed to live in resurrection power today. When I'm offended, when I'm slighted, when I'm falsely accused, when my sin nature rears up in any manifestation that you find in the book of Galatians, I have resurrection power to overcome that. You say, Brother Ames, what's the significance of raising up Jesus from the dead? The Bible says the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He was already defeated at Calvary. He's going to be destroyed one day when death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. If he's the last enemy that's going to be destroyed, that tells you right there how powerful he is. Here's what how we'd put it in our vernacular. He's the last man standing. And he gets defeated. And if death is destroyed there at the end, I do not have to walk in the body of this death. This is a dead man. I want to show you one truth that the Lord showed me. Look at the end of verse 11. When I say the word mortify the deeds of the body, somebody tell me what that means. Say it. Kill. Kill, death. Right? Mortify. M-O-R-T. Spanish. Morir. Muerte. Death. Mortify. Mortician. Right? Look at verse number 11 where our text has been. Shall quicken your what kind of body? M-O-R-T. Your mortal body, what he's saying is your dying body. And when I walk after the flesh, I am walking and living after something that is dying and decaying and not worth anything. But I have something inside of me that is eternal and that will live forever. So my appeal to you this morning, are you walking after the flesh or after the Spirit? Are you living for things eternal? Daddies, do your children see you as a man whose life is eternal or a man who's consumed with temporal things? Are you living in resurrection power? Sin shall not have dominion over you.